Numbers 21. I read verse 7 especially as text verse for the sermon. Numbers 21, verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. The theme for the sermon is repentance and prayer. We have 3 points. The first point, rebellion. Second point, punishment. And the third point, deliverance. So the theme is repentance and prayer. 3 points, rebellion, punishment, and deliverance. Congregation, it was a happy family. When they started early in the morning and they went to hike a trail in the mountains, it promised to be a beautiful day, and the children were singing. They were so happy, they were so joyful, and so there they went. They were hiking 1 hour, 2 hours, and the sun was getting hot, and the children became tired, and their feet were sore, and they were hungry and thirsty. And then the longer it took, the more they started to complain, and the more they were unwilling to walk. What a change! They became frustrated, angry, irritation, fights, all these things. What a difference if you would see this family in the morning and then somewhere during the afternoon when they were tired. What a change there was. And that's what can happen, isn't it? What can happen in our lives. When we start something, we are full hope and courage. You can see a young couple, they are just married, and they say, so joyful. They have all the courage to start this new life together. But then over the years, there's trouble. There's unemployment. There's sickness. There's a struggle with finances. And irritation is coming there, and frustration, and it can come some coldness in the relation, and a distance between the two. How is it possible? You wouldn't think that, you wouldn't expect them when you would see them on their wedding, the day they married. This is going to be a happy marriage. But it can change so much, isn't it? Well, that happened to Israel. If you would see them after they had passed through the Red Sea, oh, they were so joyful. They were so encouraged. God had helped them, delivered them, and they were singing to the glory of God, to the praise of His name. And they thought, nothing can change this mood, this attitude they had. But it did change. And we read about such a situation here in this chapter, Numbers 21. After they went 40 years through the wilderness, now they approach the promised land. They're almost there. It will not take long. But then there is a discouragement. We read in chapter 20, verse 21, thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. They wouldn't fight Edom, but they hoped they could pass through the land. That would be much shorter, a much faster and easier journey. But Edom refused and threatened to fight them. So they had to make the journey around the borders of the land of Edom. And that's a hard journey. It was hot. It was dry. And it took long, and they got so discouraged. They got so discouraged. They were grieved about this journey. And what a change it is, even if you read the first verses of this chapter. There they were attacked by Herod the Canaanite, and he took some of them and made them prisoners. And then Israel came to the Lord, and they vowed, they come in prayer to the Lord. They vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. In other words, we will not take the spoil, but we will give it like a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. Now Hormah, that's the same place where they were defeated 40 years ago, after they listened to the 10 spies who discouraged them, and then they turned away in unbelief. And then the Lord said, okay, they will not enter the land. But then they wanted to try and started to fight, and they lost that battle. They were defeated at Hormah. But here the Lord is helping them. How encouraging. He's giving this king, this enemy, in their, those people in their hand, and they destroy the Canaanites and their cities. But then this journey is following. This long, exhausting journey. And they get so discouraged, and they get grieved about it, and they start to complain. What a change it is. In the first verses we read that they vow a vow to the Lord, they pray, they bring their need before God, and here, now, they get discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Is that the same people? It's not so long ago that they vowed a vow to the Lord, where they were discouraged because some of them were taken prisoners, but they turned to the Lord and they prayed and they vowed the vow, and the Lord helped them. And here they speak against the Lord. Can you understand that? Can you explain this? How is this possible? Maybe you say, well, this is horrible. This is terrible. I really cannot understand it. I think we should be able to understand this. We do understand it. If we have some self-knowledge, we will know these situations in our own life. You not? Don't you know that situation? That the Lord, in a certain hardship, difficulty, has helped you, has heard your prayer, and you're so thankful, and it doesn't take long. Then you come in a situation that you get discouraged. It's hard for you. You get exhausted, and you get frustrated. And instead of prayer, you start to complain. Complain against the Lord, against His way. You start to ask questions. Why does God allow this to happen in my life? Why is there this trial? Why am I in such a situation of grief and disappointment? Did it never happen to you? Do you really feel that you are better than the people? No, we all have to agree that we are the same, isn't it? We are the same as the people of Israel. How many times did that happen in the year that is past? That instead of depending on the Lord in our need, In our weakness, in our impossibility, we became angry, we became frustrated, and we complained, and we saw that the Lord did something that was not just, and we did not agree. We were not united to His will. You never have it? Are you a saint? No, you are not. We have it. We might keep it within. We might hide it for people. But we have our times. We have our situations where we are not humble at the feet of the Lord. Where we are angry. And where we are complaining. So can we be here tonight? Do we dare to be here before the Lord in a service of prayer? If you think at the start of this new season, if you think about yourself in this year that is laying behind us, if you see everything you have done in anger instead of in humility, the many times that you were not united to the will of God, those situations of pain and disappointment, of discouragement, and now to be here before the Lord, it might be that you feel there's no boldness to pray. There's no reason why the Lord would hear me. I'm not good enough to come before the Lord. Well, then I want to point to this history and show you that the Lord helped His people after they had spoken against Him. When they repented, then the Lord was hearing their prayer again. How encouraging is this history? How good it is that this is written in Scripture, that the people of Israel, the chosen people of God, the people that had the revelation and so many signs of God's power, so many miracles God had shown to them, they came in a situation of discouragement and that they spoke against the Lord. Now, that's not good that they did it, but it's good that it is written down in Scripture. Scripture is so honest. And then God did not utterly destroy this people, but they came in repentance. So tonight, and we are here before the Lord, we should have in this service of prayer an attitude of repentance. Isn't that right? Do you see that? I hope you have that insight. Scripture makes it so clear that we fall short of the glory of God. Scripture is so honest about it that we all have gone astray like sheep, and that we all have sinned in so many ways against God. So I firmly believe that true prayer always has something in it of repentance, an attitude of repentance. Even if we are thankful, there's always something of that humility, of the awareness who I am before a holy God. That's the right spirit to pray, isn't it? So let's examine our hearts tonight, how we came here in the house of the Lord. Well, someone told me that he is so discouraged that he hardly dared to come here. That's not right. There's no reason. Scripture makes it clear that God wants us to repent about all those situations where we have spoken against God or where we were not united with His will, and that He is a hearing God, that He is a merciful God. So examine your heart. Do you not have every reason to repent? To have that penitence in your heart and to pray. He has repentance and prayer. That's what we see in this history. The people spake against God and against Moses. So rebellion against God. It's the sin of paradise, rebellion against God. They became grieved. So what do they say when they speak against God? Wherefore have ye brought us, and they speak against Moses. So they speak against God and against Moses, who was called to be their leader. And wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? So what do we hear in those words? Well, actually they say it was better in Egypt. It was better in the past. There at least we had food. Really? Is that what you say? Did you not cry to the Lord in your slavery? Because you were dying there and your children were dying there in your slavery. And now you say, wherefore did you bring us out of Egypt? What a sinful thing. If we do this, if we complain about the present, about the present time, and think that the past was so much better. We are so inclined to forget the hardships from the past, and then to accuse the Lord that He is leading us in a way of darkness. It's wrong. It's also not true. The other thing that we see here is fear. Fear of starvation. And you could say dehydration. A lack of food and a lack of water. Yeah. So be careful what we say about these people. How hard it is to be hungry, to be thirsty in the heat of the sun, in the wilderness. I am very sure that we would not do better if the Lord would allow us in such a situation to ourselves. But still, it's wrong. It's wrong. They had seen the miracles of the Lord so clearly. Could God not help them again? Did God not feed them for 40 years in the wilderness, giving bread from heaven? Did you forget about that? And now you complain? Complain and speak against the Lord. How many times does it happen? Well, God is so good for us, providing in so many ways. And then something is hard in our lives, and we forget about all the blessings. And we are ready to lift our fist to heaven, or at least we do it in our hearts. Because one thing is not going smooth in our lives, and we have to go through a hardship. How wrong it is. Fear is really lack of faith. There should have been faith. And God gave every reason to trust Him. How many times did they speak in rebellion against God? And how many times did He help them out in those 40 years? Deliver them out of the hand of enemies and keep them, provide with water and food and meat and bread. And here they are complaining. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. There is bread, but we don't like it. And they call it light bread. How offending to God, who is raining bread from heaven daily. For those 40 years, our soul loatheth this light bread. The sin of complaining, that even the bread in our hands. No prayer, but speaking in rebellion against God and forgetting His goodness, His daily provision. So here is man, a picture of me and of you. Isn't that true? Is there a country in the world where people have more than we have? Yes, there are other rich countries, but we have so much wealth. We have peace for such a long time that there was no war within the borders of our land. And the Lord is providing in such an abundant way. But go and listen to people. Go and listen to people in our land. It's not hard to find people complaining, isn't it? If you sit somewhere and you go to the dentist and you're waiting and you listen to the conversations, how many people are complaining? Well, they have more than they need and they can ever use in their lifetime, and they still complain. And it makes you scared, isn't it? It's such a sin against God, providing in such a merciful way and an abundant way. And we complain. Well, you might say, well, that's not about me. I hope so. But then, let's do what Daniel did. Let's see the guilt of our nation as our guilt, the debt of our nation as our debt, and we find every reason to humble ourselves before the Lord and to pray. There's every reason to be together here tonight, because our next thought is punishment. The Lord is sending punishment. The Lord will punish sin. Maybe people think, no, that's not happening because nothing is changing. But God is patient, that is true. God is forbearing. God is long-suffering. But there is and there will be a time that the measure is full and that God will show His wrath and bring His punishment. And that happens here in this history. God is sending serpents, fiery serpents, and they bite the people. And much people of Israel died. That's terrible. Serpents. Oh, the pain. Oh, the poison in their body. Oh, the death. Before their eyes, will they all die? That's deserved. The Lord is just. Even if they would all die, they thought that it was painful for them that they had to eat that light bread from heaven. They thought that life was too hard for them, being under the heat of the sun and being thirsty and desiring other bread. Now God is going to teach His people what they did. Now they know what pain is. Here are the serpents, they bite them and they die. Would they not think about how good it was when they were healthy, not bitten by serpents, kept by the Lord, God providing food daily? And here they are laying, dying, seeing others die before their eyes, and the serpents are there, and they can be bitten any moment. Oh, this is different. This is pain and this is hardship. And God is sending this, you could say, as a chastisement. And we have to say, and maybe you have a hard time to understand that, but I'll explain. We have to say it is God's mercy, isn't it? It is God's goodness when He is sending chastisement. In those situations where we are hardening ourselves in rebellion against God, in our pride, then it is God's goodness to send us chastisement. So that we will not continue in hardening ourselves, in pride, in turning away from God, in speaking against Him. Some people think there is no God because I live my own life. I live a life following the sinful desires of my own heart and nothing happens to me. That is God's patience. He's giving time that they will repent. But if they will continue, if they will never return, there will be a time. There will be a day of judgment. Christ will come as the judge of this world. And if they have continued in hardening themselves in enmity against God, that will result in eternal destruction. That's most horrible. Now you understand that it is God's mercy when He is bringing chastisement, so that we will return to the Lord, that we will see what we have done. When the Lord is bringing suffering and hardship in situations where we speak against God, it is His goodness. We can say suffering is the microphone of God. In situations of suffering, God is speaking in a very loud way. You know, when we live in a situation of wealth and prosperity, it's like God is whispering to us, isn't it? We have a hard time to hear it because things go so well in our life. We do not really hear the word and the voice of the Lord like someone is standing next to you and whispers. But it could easily escape your attention. But imagine that as someone standing next to you with a loud microphone, oh, then you will hear. There's no way that you can neglect that loud voice speaking to you. It's so strong and powerful. Well, that's God bringing us in situations of suffering, chastisement. There's no way that you can neglect it, that you can behave as if God is not speaking. The pain, the fear, death, the dying people surrounding them, that was all real. And it made them see what they had done. And much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And Moses prayed for the people. Isn't that amazing? They assaulted him. They spoke against God and spoke against Moses. And here they come. And they confess what they have done, that they have sinned. "For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." Now they saw clearly what they did wrong. And they admit, they acknowledge, they humble themselves. Do you see that it is God's mercy? Here is where they had to come. In humility before the Lord, confessing their sins. And the Lord brought them there. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. He's making intercession. Moses is so meek. That makes you think about Christ, who said, "Learn of me that I am meek and low in heart. He is much more than Moses. He will certainly and does make intercession for those that repent about their sins. So what a lesson we receive in this chapter about prayer and about how we should behave. Yeah. So are you in a situation of trouble? Are things going difficult in your life? Do you experience hardship? Something like the people of Israel when they had to travel around that land of Edom and they got so grieved and discouraged. Are you in such a situation? Are you in such a way that you get exhausted, discouraged? So listen. God's word is teaching us how we should behave in such situations. If God is giving us a trial, a tribulation, like a yoke on our shoulders, we should be patient. How can you be patient in situations when you feel that your business is not doing well and there's trials for your family and the concerns in your personal life about your health? How can you be patient? By faith. I know so easily fear fills our hearts, but the answer is faith. And what is faith? Faith is to look to the cross. Faith is to look to Christ and to see that He is hanging there because of my sins, which I have sinned against a good doing God. That humbles your heart. Do that. In those situations when you feel anger, frustration, impatience filling your heart, look to Christ. Oh, let it be by faith. You say, I have no faith. Well, pray for it. Faith is a gift of God. Look to the cross. Set your mind on what Christ has done. And remember what you have done, that you have caused this suffering for Him. And that will soften your heart. That's something the Holy Spirit will bless, to make you humble and meek, and to endure, and to persevere. And God, in due time, will help you out and will give a chance out of this situation. Maybe you say, Pastor, it's too late. I've already spoken against God in anger and rebellion. And I don't know how I can ever gain the favor of the Lord. Well, here's the example. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. So come to Christ, who is so much more than Moses, and confess your rebellion. But my heart is so cold. Well, confess it to the Lord. But my heart is so hard. Confess it to the Lord. Lay it before Him. But I don't know if I can do it with the right feeling. Well, do it without the right feeling and pray for the right feeling. But how, whatever way it may be, you have to come at the feet of Christ. He's the only one who can help you. And He's willing to help you. And He's able to help you. And He will not turn you away. They came and repented about their sins. And Moses prayed for the people. Wonderful. I would like to see that picture. Here they come. Oh, what a change. Oh, how they are humbled by the Lord. And how they seek His forgiveness. And Moses prayed. Repentance and prayer. Yeah, that's what we need. It's what we all need tonight for our personal lives, for our nation, for the church. So many things to repent about. So many things to be humble, like the people, here they come, humbled. And here's the prayer, rising up before the Lord. That's what we need. We need it so much in our nation. Oh, that God would be merciful unto us and not do according to our sins. Let us first sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 235, stanza 1 through 3. 235, stanza 1, Lord, my petition heed, now help me in my need. 235, all stanzas. Our third point is deliverance. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And the Lord said unto Moses, make a fiery serpent. There Moses has to make a fiery serpent, and you see he is hurrying as fast as he can, as fast as his legs can bear him. He's doing this because this is a matter of life and death. If people will see this serpent, they will be healed, they will be saved. And that's something wonderful. A serpent of brass. Can that heal them from this poison when they are bitten, when they are already dying? Could such an object, a serpent of brass, could that sounds like foolishness? No, it's not, because it is according to the word of God. There is the secret. God has given this sign of a serpent of brass. And he had to lift it up, to pull it up on a pole, so that everybody could see it. And everybody who would look would be healed, would live and not die. It doesn't matter if you are young or old. It doesn't matter if you are poor or rich. You don't have to pay for it. It's all for free. And they can all see it. If they will only look, if they will only behold this serpent of brass, then that poison will lose its power, and death will not have victory over them, but they will live. What a wonder! What a miracle of God's mercy! Even those rebels that were the leaders in this rebellion, if they would look to the serpent, they will be saved. They will be healed. They will live. No matter how angry they were, they will be saved when they behold the serpent. And look, there Moses is lifting it up as high as he can. Everybody has to see it up on a pole. What a wonderful illustration of God's work of salvation. Christ himself has used this history as a powerful picture of his work. He says in John 3 verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's what he says to Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, someone who knew so much about Scripture but didn't understand this, didn't understand the need of regeneration and the wonder of salvation by faith in Christ. And Christ is preaching him the gospel. As Moses lifted up the serpent, and that happened to Christ, he's lifted up from the earth. They have nailed him to the cross, and there he is as a sacrifice for sin. He says, the Lord Jesus says in John 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And that he spoke about his death. That's what he would do. In his dying on the cross, he would draw all men unto him. There's such a power in this dying Savior who resurrected and is sitting now at the right hand of God the Father, ascended to heaven. There's such a power in this sacrifice. It is the power of his love. And that will heal sinners bitten by Satan and dying because of the poison of sin in their hearts, in their nature, in their lives. But when they behold the cross, when they behold Christ, when they see his sacrificing love, then they are healed. It's the gospel. You understand it? You got it? Behold. That's what John the Baptist said. Behold the Lamb of God. Right at the start of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold. Are you bitten? You feel the poison of sin in your life? The power of it? And you fear that you're going to die? Behold. Behold. The Lamb of God, Christ. He is painted before your eyes in the gospel. In the four gospels, in the letters of Paul, in the promises in the Old Testament, in the prophets, in Isaiah 53, in the ceremonies, in the sacrifices, every page of Scripture is pointing to the Lamb of God, the Word which became flesh. Behold, can you not see him? How clearly is he put before our eyes? And John the Baptist said it at the start of his ministry. And you know what Christ said Maybe you are sitting here and you say, but I have such a doubt. And how can it be for me? You know what Christ said? Right, that after he resurrected and he appeared to his disciples, there was one doubting. You know him, isn't it? Thomas. And Christ said, look, he invited him to look, see the signs in my hands and in my side. And you have to look too. Do you see it? Do you see his finished work? There's power to wash all your sins away. Repentance and prayer. The prayer of faith. And God showing his way of deliverance. And the whole world may say it's foolishness. How can a man dying on the cross save me out of misery and destruction? Let him talk. But God says, this is my way. It's the power of his word. And that should bring you to faith. To rest your soul in his promises. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with the Lamb? Nothing to complain anymore. Whatever happens in this season, nothing to complain. My soul is satisfied with the Lamb of God. Can you say that? By faith. He's lifted up. Christ has to be exalted. He's lifted up so high that everybody can see him. And it doesn't matter how poor you are. It doesn't matter if you are just a child. Maybe you are old in the evening of life. Doesn't matter if you have nothing to pay, it's for free. Maybe you say, but my sins are so horrible. Yeah, it's for the chief of sinners, like Paul and like me. Christ lifted up, drawing all men unto himself. Then you read in the Old Testament later on something strange, terrible actually. We read that Hezekiah break in pieces the brazen serpent, for the children of Israel burned incense to it. So God gave it for their salvation in this situation. And they took it, and they twisted it, and they used it for idolatry. They made it an idol. So yeah, without true repentance, it's useless to boast in the cross, you know? We need true repentance so that Christ will be exalted in our hearts. But look to Christ, even if you don't have repentance now. Look to the cross, and then you will repent. Will you not? Can that be? That your heart will not break when you see him hanging there? He is the one working repentance in your heart. You cannot even produce that yourself. But to look to him, then your heart will break. And then he will heal it. By faith in his work. By faith in what he has done. So, congregation, one more time. Let there be repentance and prayer in our hearts daily. Or to say it in other words, let's always look to the cross. Let it be like Paul says, I do not want to know anything else than Christ and him crucified. He is lifted up before your eyes tonight and so many times, and you have to behold him as the Lamb of God. And God will heal you. And God will heal, oh, could it be, also our land and our church, and keep his work from generation to generation. Plead and beseech him for our nation, for our church, for a new generation, so that Christ will be exalted in many hearts. He is worthy. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before thee. We are such rebels, like the Israelites in the wilderness. But Lord, they are not utterly destroyed, but they were brought to repentance. And thou hast heard the prayer, and thou hast given deliverance in such an amazing way. And the world might say it's foolishness, but we know that the cross of Christ is a power of God unto salvation for all those that believe. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts, that we will take it with us, and that Christ will be precious in our eyes. He is sufficient. His work is sufficient. He is the Savior. He is healing sinners so that they will not perish forever, but that they will live to give him the glory. Lord, we pray for a revival, that our nation will look to the cross, that Christ will be lifted up in our midst, and that there will be healing for our nation. Lord, that thy work will be seen in many hearts. Oh, we pray, Lord, that Christ will return in glory. Then there will be no sin anymore and no darkness, but he will be all in all. Lord, in all those that have humbled at his feet, and Lord, that we may stay there our whole lifetime at the foot of the cross, at the feet of Christ. And that's the best place to find consolation in his wounds, in his sacrifice, in the power of his blood. Lord, we pray, hear us in the forgiveness of our sins, and keep us when we go home, and help us. We pray, Lord, that thou protects also the students from Plymouth that plan to travel for an exchange to the Netherlands, Lord. Especially we pray for Sylvia Burkel, that thou would be with her and that she may safely return with the other students in due time in our midst, Lord. That thou would make it a blessed time, and that thou would hear our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.